Welcome to the radio ministry of the Colorado Springs Church of God Seventh-day, featuring the teaching ministry of Troy Gadak. You can learn more about the Church of God Seventh-day at www.cscog7.org. Now, here's Pastor Troy Gadak.
Taking a week off from our series of Who Are We? And I'd like to focus on another type of question, and that is more of the why are we here? And sometimes I think it's important to ponder that question and to understand, why are we here? When you think about it and say, why am I here today? Why am I in this very place? What brought me here this Sabbath morning? Why here? And then you begin to think about it in respect to your own life. Why in my life do I have the job that I do, the career that I'm in, or perhaps in my point of life where I'm retired, whatever state you're in, or the youth of the congregation, you think about it and say, why am I here? What's the value and the importance and the purpose of my life right now? But then you begin to think and ponder that question, not only why are we here, but why here? Why in this present state, 2011, in the United States of America? Why here? What is God's purpose? I think it's important to understand who we are, but I think it's also equally important to understand the why, and the why we are here. And thankfully, we have the Word of God that reflects and reveals to us the why. We have to look just beyond, though, today, because sometimes we often do that. When you look at it, we look beyond our present, and sometimes we need to, because sometimes we get so caught up in the thick of it that we're in our own current present problems. We're unable to see the overall forest because our vision has been skewed, or perhaps it's been covered or blinded in some way. And we're not able to forge a path or whatever through the forest, but we need to, because we find that we're in the thick of it. But so what's the ultimate goal of being here? We're in the midst of this forest, and here we are as an individual, understanding, as we saw in the clip here, understanding who we are, but more importantly, what's our purpose? Why are we here? What's our ultimate goal for being here? Jesus gave us the answer, and I'm going to ask that you would turn to it in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew chapter 6, I'd like to take a look at verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Well-known passage, well-known verse, as Jesus, in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount, shares with the people that gathered there, the multitudes, he states and gives us the answer as to why we're here. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Well-known passage, but one that I think it's important for us to revisit frequently so that we remind ourselves why we're here. We understand that if we seek, we see an importance of the action that he outlines for us right here. Seek. Seek first what? Do you notice the perspective that God gives us when he's addressing us here? When he truly identifies, seek first his kingdom. Do you notice where his focus is? When you notice and say and answering that, why am I here, you look at it and say, we've been called upon to seek his kingdom first. That's our eyes fixed upon him, looking upward to him. But beyond that, it says, seek first his kingdom, and what's coupled with that? His righteousness. God's going to provide. All these other things will be added unto you as well, he says. God's going to provide for the physical. He's going to help us. He's going to help, but we have to show him, obviously, we have a commitment to seek. Notice the command there is to seek. It's a calling on him to say, that's why we have this passion that's within us, that we seek to learn to find, and it's inbred within us. It's inherent. That we're equipped to seek and look after him, look and to seek to find And it's Him that we're to seek and to find. It's His kingdom. It's His righteousness. We have the vision of seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, which is the way to walk toward the kingdom of God. But it's not just seeking. Do you notice that? That's what I like about this passage here, that Jesus points out it's beyond just seeking, because seeking, you can go out, look and look and look and just be spend the rest of your life looking. But Jesus, in fact, tells us that we are to seek, and in seeking we find, and in finding we apply and His righteousness. And so when you look at this, we see that not just seeking it because you've got to do it God's way, because it's important to do it His way and not our own way. We tend to meander, we tend to wander, we tend to spend countless hours, some years, some entire lifetime seeking. But some, following Frank Sinatra's famous song, want to do it my way. And yet God tells us, and Jesus Christ tells us, to seek what? Our kingdom? No. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. Notice that we have to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then everything else is secondary. It puts life into perspective. When people are struggling out there and not wondering, why am I here? What am I doing? Who am I? A lot of times, because they're looking at the secondary and they've missed the primary. They forgot the focus upon, or perhaps aren't aware of the focus on Him and His kingdom. But they're seeking to do things my way instead of God's way. We put the cart before the horse often, don't we? We're so focused upon how our needs are going to be met that we forget that we need to, number one, seek and apply His way first, and then everything else will fall into place. Everything else is secondary. That's the overall goal of our lives. Sometimes it can appear to be a bit abstract when you think about it. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. A little bit abstract when you think about it. So we'll have to kind of fill that out to see as we look at this. We seek the kingdom of God, but the question is, until we see the fullness of God's kingdom of God in reality, what do we do in the meantime? What do we do in the meantime? You know, Jesus, in fact, taught His disciples how to pray, and He shared with them from the very beginning. Turn back just a couple of verses in that same chapter of Matthew, back to verse 9. He instructs them how they should pray. Notice the very first part of it focuses on our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. That immediately upon the, if you will, the address, if you will, the addressing of our Father in heaven, notice what God goes to right after that in what was considered to be the model prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Thy kingdom come. You notice that after we address God, the very first thing that we are to focus on is the kingdom. The kingdom. And in fact, you see what Jesus has actually done is he's set the goal for us right there in our daily, if you will, for us daily, that we are to address God and seeking the kingdom of God and just focusing on that. And when looking at that, I'd like to just be able to share with you, when you look at the kingdom of God, what is it that God means? What is Jesus addressing when he says, after he addresses God, we understand who our focus is in our prayer, but then he goes right away into thy kingdom come. What does that mean? It's evidently important, otherwise it wouldn't be here. It's evidently important in something that we addressed, and it puts life into perspective because it ranks up there, thy kingdom come. It's something that he obviously wants us to focus on. I'd like to share with you seven parts of thy kingdom come. Because when you break it down, you have to break it down into the pieces, if you will, to analyze it, to really, like you do with incense, to get the essence of the aroma. It's a matter of breaking it down to see the exact parts of it that address thy kingdom come. You know, I don't think it's just one general concept. I really don't think that it's just thy kingdom come and what we're looking forward to into the coming kingdom of God and its fullness. I think that's the big picture. But I think there are parts that help us to understand the fullness of thy kingdom come. The first one that I would like to address is thy kingdom come helps us to establish so we know what the goal is. Number one is the goal. Thy kingdom come establishes that we focus on that above anything else. Thy kingdom come. It's the goal. It helps to put our lives into perspective. When things tend to get muddy and tend to get kind of cloudy in our lives and we tend to not know where we're going or where we're headed, let's come back to realize, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Let's ground ourselves. Let's get back to the basics. Let's get to this point that what is it that God is really all about? And he's about the kingdom, the goal above all else. We're saying that's our goal. And what's good, in fact, what good is it if we gain the whole world and yet we don't make it into the kingdom? Jesus addresses that, right? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Matthew 16 addresses that. When Jesus, in fact, addresses what good is it to gain all of this, he puts life into perspective. You're getting so caught up with all of these things when the essence is thy kingdom come. Very important for us to realize that's the goal. If somebody were to ask you, what's your purpose in life? I wonder what you would answer. I wonder how we would answer. Why are you here? Thy kingdom come. The goal is what we're headed toward. The goal is that by which we're running toward. And so when we look at that, we see that that's where we're going to be rewarded when we look at it in the fullness and the glory of God when he establishes his kingdom in its fullness. It's something that began at the cross. And it's something that's going to carry forward to consummation. The second one, though, falls right on the heels of what is a goal. And that is hope. Hope. Thy kingdom come. Do you notice? Do you notice the phraseology is not thy kingdom came? Do you notice it's thy kingdom come? It's that even that just that sense of three words is that sense of anticipation and looking ahead of hope and what we have yet ahead of us. See, we have a goal like this because when we have a goal, often a goal, well, They often say a goal without a plan is just a hope. But if we have a goal with hope and a plan, then we have a goal. We know what our goal is. We know that in that sense it gives us hope. We have that goal that fills us with that desire to move forward, that desire that we know there's something better yet around the corner. The desire to look forward to that time when we'll achieve it. Thy kingdom come. It's not quite here in its fullness yet. We look forward to it. So that's hope. That's hope. Number three is faith. Okay, so we have faith, and we have hope. We have a goal. We have hope. And that's the desire to achieve things. And then faith is that willingness to carry forward, if you will, to carry it out. That willingness to, I believe in the goal. I have sense in the hope, and I'm going to follow through. And that's faith. It's that walk, if you will, toward the kingdom. Faith is carrying out these things. Faith is the actual walk, that I know the goal is there. I have the hope that it's going to take place. But you know what? I'm here and right now, but a goal is out there. I'm going to walk to the goal. That's faith. Because I know that the goal is good. I know that it's there, that thy kingdom will come. But I'm going to walk to there. That says that I believe in that goal. Because if I didn't believe in that goal, I wouldn't walk toward that goal. I would head off somewhere else. But because I believe in that goal, I have faith that thy kingdom will come, I walk toward that goal. And we're walking toward the kingdom. Hope is the vision. And then we have the fourth. And the fourth is meaning. Meaning. Thy kingdom come gives us meaning about what life is all about. You know, there have been philosophers that have been, in fact, called themselves existential philosophers, meaning that they kind of find that life has no meaning. Does life have no meaning? Is life meaningless? If so, well, let's eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we what? Die. That's the existentialist. The one who says life is meaningless, so what's the point? Simply live life now, because tomorrow you may die. There is no point. There is no value. There's no meaning to my life. I'm just simply here. And then I die. And yet, thy kingdom come tells us this life has meaning. This life has meaning and it has value. And sure enough, if we have, in fact, a goal, you see, we have, in fact, there's hope. That's important. Through faith, we can achieve it because we're walking toward that goal. And it gives us meaning about what this life is all about. It's a journey. And therefore, I understand that my life right now is a journey from here to there. And it gives us satisfaction. That's part number five. Thy kingdom come gives satisfaction. How? Satisfaction to our lives, because we know we've got a goal that we're headed toward. And you know what? It's a journey to get there, because it's a walk with our Savior all along the way. And satisfaction in our lives because we know that, number one, this world is pretty messed up. And we recognize that, and there's a lot of things that are going wrong in this world. But there's satisfaction in knowing that thy kingdom come is much better than this kingdom here now. That's satisfaction. Because all the wrongs are going to be made right. Boy, isn't that satisfaction? We're in the thick of it right now, but we remind ourselves, thy kingdom come. You're in the depths of despair because everything has been pulled out from underneath you. The rug, your house, your life, your family, your job. And yet you remember, thy kingdom come. There's a goal. There's hope. There's faith. There's meaning. their satisfaction. We're going to reap what we sow. The world will reap what it sows. But we're on a journey to thy kingdom come. Yes, there are a lot of people that have suffered. Many of us have suffered. Many of us are suffering. Many have been victimized. But we know that person that did that one day, we know all wrongs will be made right. That's satisfaction. And I'm grateful that I don't have to right those wrongs. Huh. Can you imagine? Everyone is going to meet their maker. There's satisfaction that God's justice is going to be carried out. There's satisfaction knowing that He is the one who is merciful with love, but also God is not to be mocked. And we know that God is a just God. Many will reap, we'll all reap what we sow. So that comes to the sixth, and the sixth one is motivation. Motivation. You know, if you know thy kingdom come, helps you to get up in the morning, doesn't it? Helps you to get out of bed in the morning, doesn't it? Helps you to know that there's more than just this life right now. But you know what? I'm preparing because this is dress rehearsal, and I'm looking forward to the main show that's going to be coming to a town near us. And we look at that and we say, that's motivation. We get up in the morning and realize, one, we are on another day in our journey to the goal. Another day, how far are we going to get today? Because we're getting closer and closer to the goal. Thy kingdom come. It's another lap. We get up in the morning, we've got another lap that we're taking. And sure enough, toward that kingdom, and it motivates us that as we do and as we want to run that good race. And we want to run that good race to the very end. Not giving up. Because it'll be worthy and it'll be profitable. For us, what a wonderful day it'll be. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Keep our eyes fixed on the goal. And finally, number seven, it gives us perseverance. Thy kingdom come says, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. We're going to go through some rough patches, you know, but we're going to have to make it to the kingdom. And so that gives us perseverance. Thy kingdom come. So all these things is the way that we can pray, if you will, to give us more meaning to those three words that we often so perhaps nonchalantly say, but perhaps we don't really think about and ponder, what does thy kingdom come mean? It's a goal. It's hope. It's faith. It's meaning. It's satisfaction. It motivates us. And boy, we know it's going to be tough. We can hold in there till the very end, helping us to persevere. I want to take this rather abstract thought and concept and apply a physical example in a more concrete way. Someone who really loves mountain climbing. We have some folks in. How many of you, anybody in here climbed a 14er here in Colorado? Yeah, we've got some folks who have climbed 14ers. You know, think about that. When you think about climbing, mountain climbing, there was someone who really loves to mountain climb. And he says, you know what I want to do before I die? He says, I want to climb. I want to climb Mount Elbert. Well, Mount Elbert, highest peak in Colorado. Some people have that goal. I wanted, you know, it's something about these mountains that are the highest. It's that sense of challenge. It's obstacle. I want to climb to the top. And then people move beyond Colorado, and they move to things like peaks in Alaska. They move over to Africa and climb peaks like Mount Kilimanjaro. And then they finally say, you know what? I really want to go for it all. I want to climb Everest. It's a lofty goal, wouldn't you say? It's a lofty goal. Would you say a difficult goal? I would say a difficult goal. How many of you would say, you know what, I could just take off on a plane today and tomorrow I could be at the base and I could climb up to base camp and I could work my way on up there and sure enough, I'd be able to get to the top of the mountain. The lofty goal. Suppose that person, though, strives for that goal. Suppose, in fact, that that person now has established this as their goal for their life. It's one of their items on their bucket list, right? How many of you have a bucket list? Maybe one that you've written down, but maybe one that's just in your head. You know those things that you say, I want to do these things before I die? And so you've had a list there, and so maybe climbing Mount Everest might be one of your goals, or maybe it might not be one of your goals. But I bring this to your attention because that's a lofty goal, and it's one that's established for a goal for this man's lifetime. But then he needs what? He's got this goal, but then what does he need to get to that goal? Well, he needs hope. You know, this isn't just an abstract idea or a concept or an objective, you see. I feel, yes, in fact, I can, if he feels he can really do it, he has the desire. He can see that he can do this. That's hope. He can see himself. You know, a lot of times they say that. That's what often Olympic athletes envision what does it take to win the gold. And so they envision the perfect, whether it be the race, they envision the perfect throw, they envision the perfect dive, whatever it is, they have that picture of what it just should be. So they're working toward that. That's that hope to that goal. And now he has to prepare for this. So sure enough, he's got to get himself into shape, right? And sure enough, he's got to get the right equipment. He's got to get over to the Himalayas. He's got to, in fact, prepare. So he makes it over there, actually starts climbing. And see, when he actually starts climbing, that's faith. He truly has a goal. He truly has hope. He has that thought that I can do this. He's prepared for it, and now he follows through with it. That's active faith. He's doing it. He's there. He's climbing to base camp. That's faith. That's not somebody just sitting down in their bedroom dreaming about going to Everest. That's not somebody who pulls and plugs in National Geographic and watches the film crew go up to the top of Mount Everest. So you see, that's hope. Sitting on a bed, dreaming about Everest, that's hope, but that's hope without faith, because they have not ventured forward into action. And so, you know, you hope something, but faith means you carry it out. You step forward. You take that leap of faith, so to speak, that action. And then, of course, you have meaning. Okay, this is going to give meaning to my life as this man is climbing Mount Everest. And if he does this, well, he's going to always remember the goal. He's going to remember the challenge, and it's going to make a difference in his life. It gives meaning. Then you need satisfaction. You know, once this man does this, boy, it's going to give him, wouldn't you say, some deep satisfaction to know that he was able to climb the highest mountain on earth. That's satisfaction. Get up in the morning, every morning, got this goal in mind, focusing on it, and finally persevering until he gets to the top. Not giving up, even despite the weather, the wind, the storms that come across Everest in only that brief window of time that you can actually climb to the top because of weather. Folks, that's what we can apply to our spiritual lives as well. The hope to be a part of the kingdom of God. Can you see yourself in the kingdom? Are you sitting on your bed pondering what it's going to be like? Are you sitting in your Barker lounger thinking about what it's going to be like? Are you taking a walk outside picturing yourself in the kingdom of God? That's the hope. But then beyond that hope is, what are we doing each and every step of the way to draw closer to the Savior in our walk with Him? Sure enough, we have the goal, we have the hope, we believe we can achieve it. It's doable because Jesus Christ paid the price for us. And He desires to have us as brothers and sisters into the family of God. Faith means that vision. Faith means that commitment to carry it out. I'm prepared to commit, carry it out. I'm prepared to commit. I'm prepared to start doing it, following through. I love him. I know the goal is ahead. And if I love him, I'm going to keep his commandments. Can you see yourself in God's kingdom? And so by faith, yes, I'm going to be in that kingdom. Come what may, I have that faith. I'm walking that walk. Jesus paid the price. I can't wait to join him. I have the commitment, and nobody's going to stop me from that goal. Of course, with God giving us inspiration, his Spirit dwelling within us gives us motivation. It's not an empty, it's not in vain. It gives us meaning. Maybe my body is racked with disease. Maybe I'm suffering in this body. But you know what? Because this is what meaning is, thy kingdom come. I look forward to a new body, a glorified body. Much better than the one that I've got right now. One that I'm not having to suffer in. It's just this period of time that I suffer through illness, through ailments. But the next time, the next stage, we're not. That gives us meaning. It gives us meaning to reflect and know that, you know what, we need to be compassionate of one another now. Because many of us suffer now. And to share that compassion, be patient, and help us to persevere through this life. And then we look forward to satisfaction. You know, it's going to be worth it in the end. Thy kingdom come. We're going to feel satisfied in having a goal like that because all things are going to be straightened out. All the right, all the wrongs are going to be made right. And sure enough, the road is going to be straightened. And the sixth one, that motivation for living every day because it's going to be better in the kingdom of God. God's never going to take the kingdom from us, if you will. But we can take the kingdom from him because that's our choice. The kingdom is available for all mankind. But it's the choice that you and I make as to whether, you know what, do I accept the Lord Savior as my Lord and Savior? Do I accept him and believe on him? And am willing to follow in his path for my life. God doesn't turn his back on us, but often we turn our backs on him. And then there's perseverance, spiritually speaking. We're going to get her done. We're going to see it through to the very end. We're going to go through some tough times in our life. We know that. And there's attitudes that are just honest questions, sometimes misunderstandings. But there's often some things that are much more serious, but we persevere through them. Some of us have our guards up. Some of us have lost sight of the overall goal because, well, for one reason or another. Nevertheless, God uses this time. This time is a trial to test us and to see what we're made of and to see what's truly inside. I want to close with Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. God tells the nation of Israel, I think, some key words that he tells to all of mankind. In the second verse, notice in verse 1 he says, be careful to follow every command that I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord God promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to do what? To test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. Folks, you and I are in that desert, delivered from the sin of Egypt that we've left behind, and wandering through the desert of life right now, where the Lord our God tests us and tries us to see, what are we really made of? What's on the inside? But do you remember the nation of Israel wasn't just wandering? The nation of Israel had a goal, and that goal was articulated to the people that they sought the promised land. Seeking that land flowing with milk and honey. They had their goal. They had hope. They had faith. They had a willingness to walk through with stumbles and trials and obstacles and challenges and obstacles that they had to overcome over a period of time before that next generation was allowed then to go into the promised land. And so we see that there's that sense of God is trying us through the desert and the wilderness to prove whether us, you and I, are truly committed to Him. Remember the Lord your God that led you along this journey through the last 40 years, sending hardships to test you, so that He might know what you intended to do and whether you would, in fact, obey His commands. Thy kingdom come. Jesus says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then everything else will take care of itself. Matthew 6:33. No matter what, it's going to be worth it. No matter what, it'll be worthwhile. No matter how the desert sands and storms of life affect us, the promised land is going to be worthwhile. The kingdom of God is going to be all worthwhile. Let's keep praying. Let's keep praying for each other. But I hope that as you pray the Lord's Prayer, that I hope that you have further meaning behind the three simple words at the beginning that state, Thy kingdom come. Our eyes are on the goal, the wonderful and the coming kingdom of God. Won't you stand and join me? In fact, as we proclaim the Lord's Prayer in closing today, pondering and reflecting upon Thy kingdom come.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of the Colorado Springs Church of God Seventh Day. The Colorado Springs Church of God Seventh Day holds weekly Sabbath services at the Springs Community Church. The church's most recent messages can be downloaded at www.cscog7.org. There you will also find more information on the dynamic ministries of Church of God Seventh Day. Join us at this same time each Saturday for inspiring messages from God's Word.